I'm excited to be here with you today, and I want to take you back in time. I want to take you back to August 8th, 2009. It was the day that was full of anticipation. It was full of hope. And when I get excited, when I get really pumped up, one of the things that is true about me is that I sweat. And in this moment, I was in, this is beautiful August 8th weather, which means, and I forgot this part, we were in Southern California. So if you're in Southern California in August, that means it's a little smoggy and somewhere between 90 and super fire hot. And it was one of those days. My friends and I were dressed to the nines. We were clean as clean could be. And this was a day, a moment in time where my anticipation for this moment was just building inside of me. We took some pictures. We enjoyed the time that we had there. And time came about midday where I got to step in to the church. Stan, come on, Roland. Stand and look down a hallway. And my excitement was just pouring out of me. That might have been sweat too. But I was really excited because this moment of anticipation was finally coming together when I got to see my wife in a white dress. When the presence of my wife showed up, it changed everything. A day that I had been waiting for my whole life. Yeah, a guy can wait to be married his whole life. This ain't just a girl thing, man. This is a moment in time where I was waiting and anticipating this moment, and to see my beautiful wife standing down the hallway in her white dress, it was the moment where my anticipation and excitement came into this moment of her presence, and it became one of the beautifulest, most true moments of my life. You know, we've all had those moments of anticipation, right? Where our anticipation builds and builds and builds. And we get to a moment where the anticipation of the moment and the actual moment happening, and it's just pure excitement. Maybe for some of you, especially some of y'all kids, you all know today's Christmas Eve, don't you? The anticipation's starting to build, isn't it? It's starting to, what's tomorrow going to be like? Am I going to have something in my stocking? Is there going to be something under the tree that I was not expecting? And that anticipation is going to last all day long, even to the wee hours of the morning when they can't sleep. And 5 o'clock shows up and they come and knock on their parents' door. And you're like, go, just go, 6 o'clock at least. And then they show up at 5:15. Is it 6 o'clock yet? You kids know what I'm talking about. Maybe it was, for some of you, the anticipation of having a child. That moment of waiting where this anticipation of having to wait for something, and then the moment where you get to have this child, and this child comes, and this excitement and anticipation all meet at a moment where everything seems right. Whether it's finding the job of your dreams or getting accepted into a college, we've all experienced the anticipation and having to wait for something and hoping for something great. Today, I want to talk about a moment just like that. An Emmanuel moment. A moment in which was long anticipated that culminated in a moment. But I want to tell you today that Emmanuel is just not for the moment of Christmas. But this is my big idea, and I hope if you get anything today, you get this, that every moment is an Emmanuel moment. Every moment is an Emmanuel moment. So we are going to be doing a brief overview of the story of Emmanuel today. And so if you've got your Bibles, we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. If you want to open up there, there's going to be the verses up here today. And I just want to give a quick preface to this. We're not going to be able to do a full treatise of these passages to the fullest extent that I would like to do. And it's particularly with this one, if you want to look back, Barry started our sermon series in Matthew a while back. We went through some of this series, and there's some good conversations there that Barry had that I would give you as a resource. So make sure, if you want to come back and check out Matthew chapter 1 and go through some of that stuff, Barry has given some great sermons on these. So just for the sake of time, I got to make sure that I go through these fairly quickly. So Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we see the first occurrence of the word Emmanuel. There's this guy, King Ahaz, and he has a choice that is in front of him. He is given the opportunity to side with two different political powers. And Isaiah, the prophet of God, who is called, he said, "Here am I, God, send me." And God sends him, and the first person he sends him to is King Ahaz. And he goes to King Ahaz, say, "Hey, I've got a better idea. Why don't you don't partner with either one of these factions, and you partner with God?" And he does something pretty crazy. God offers a sign, and not often does God offer a sign. Actually, it's something that rarely happens. But in this case, he offers a sign that says, "High as the heavens, to the depths of Sheol, I'm going to give you a sign. What is the sign that you want?" Well, King Ahaz, in his false piety, thinking, "I'm going to be obedient to the law, but not be obedient to God in this moment." Pause. If you ever use the Bible to not be obedient to God, you're probably going down the wrong direction. Can I just say that right now? King Ahaz says, "No, I'm not gonna side with God." And Isaiah says, "You're testing my patience for sure, but now you're testing the patience of God." And then he shares a sign with him anyways, the audacity of God. He says this, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin and Mary, the virgin will conceive and have a son. And you will call him Emmanuel." They will name him Emmanuel. Well, you see, what happened here in this moment was this first saying of Emmanuel, this idea of God with us, that the presence of God was going to be with his people. And that brought hope. That brought life. And while in this case, what we see is we don't know who this woman is. We're not even sure if it was a virgin in the idea of somebody who was a young married woman that is yet to conceive child. But we do know this, that for the next five chapters, Isaiah goes on to discuss this idea. And we brought it up this morning that there's a promised one who is coming. And he's going to save his people. This one who's going to come to his people and redeem them. We might call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That ain't no ordinary child, is it? And here's the reality. By the end of chapter 12, we see this conversation about, though Israel will be destroyed, there will be one who is saved that will be from the line of David, a kingly line where the line will last forever, that will be born, and he will come into the world and he will free people of oppression, free people from the bondage of sin. You see, this is not the first time we've gotten an allusion to God coming and saving his people. We see it all the way back in Genesis 3 when we see the seed of a woman that is going to come and crush the head of the serpent. There they will come. And here we get this idea that there will be one that comes to us. But here's the thing. The presence of God has been with his people before, right? The presence of God has shown up in a pillar of smoke. It's been a burning bush. The glory of God filled Solomon's temple. There was times where the presence of God had shown up. So what was this God with us moment supposed to look like? How was this one who is going to be born of a virgin, whose name will be called Emmanuel? How is that supposed to work? Maybe this one will come and take on Rome and defeat our enemies. He'll defeat Babylon. What will it be like? You see, the anticipation of this one who would come grew and grew and grew amongst the people. And this book was written 700 years before Matthew would come along and before the birth of Jesus. 700 years. We have a hard enough time waiting for a video to buffer. 700 years they were waiting for the one who is going to be God with us. So this anticipated Emmanuel moment happens, and we're waiting for this moment to see what it looks like. And then there's a moment where it's no longer an anticipated moment. There becomes this actualized Emmanuel moment where God shows up with his people. Maybe it was in a parade of trumpets and horns heralding the coming king, because he was going to be a king, right? Maybe it was going to be like one who is paraded down the streets and here's our new prince. However, it's a little bit different, wasn't it? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we see the same language show up for this actualized Emmanuel moment. It says, verse 23, "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. You see, Emmanuel showed up. Emmanuel came and was he was with his people. He was in human form. He was in the form of a baby. But you want to know who knew about it? Shepherds. Shepherds on a graveyard shift were the ones who heard about this Savior, and they're the ones who showed up to celebrate this coming God with us. You see, the funny thing about Emmanuel is that, yes, while the presence of God shows up in a burning bush, in a cloud of fire, the Emmanuel, the God with us, coming down in human form that looks like the rest of us humans, was a baby crying, laying on hay. How apropos. Laying on hay with no form that would make us know that he is God with us. Nothing that would make us want to come hang out with this baby. It was a hard night for the parents. And Emmanuel, this anticipated Emmanuel, shows up in just a mundane moment. And I can't help but to think about our way of experiencing God. I think a lot of times what we're waiting for is God to show up in a pillar of fire. We're waiting for this moment where God comes and is like, I am here. We're waiting for the burning bush kind of moment in our lives with God. But I can't help looking at this actualized Emmanuel moment and find myself thinking, the greatest moment in human history happened and there was hardly anybody who knew about it. And he would regain more notoriety, right? His life would gain notoriety by going about his father's business, by going about and healing people, asking people that should never join the cause of God to join him. He would ask lepers to come and join him. He would heal people, raise people from the dead in his life, and ultimately live a holy and blameless life without sin. And then was put on trial because of it. He was convicted of blasphemy, claiming that he was God with us, and claiming that he was the one that the prophets had stated, he is Emmanuel, God with us. And it cost the fact that was tied to him cost him his life. But we also know the end of the story, don't we? We know the end of the story where Jesus just doesn't die, but he raises again to new life. He defeats sin and death. And it's funny because Matthew begins in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, claiming that Emmanuel would be God with us. And then Jesus comes in his final words of Matthew, and he says this in Matthew 28, verse 30, and remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, Matthew wanted to share, firstly, that Jesus was God with us. And then Jesus shared with his disciples that he would be with us. You see, it was no longer a moment of anticipation. It was now the abiding Emmanuel, the one who would stay with us, the one who would be with us even to the end of the age. And I can't help but think within that time frame, in that moment, what were the disciples thinking? Is God going to be with us? I thought he just died, but I just seen him resurrected. And he came in and proclaimed peace to us. And I can't help but think for us, as we think about this Emmanuel moment, what do we believe about the presence of God? What do we think the presence of God is like? See if I can get through the story. Recently, my wife and I were sitting down, getting ready to put up our Christmas tree. And as we put up our Christmas tree, we were trying to get ready for something, and we had a passionate discussion with one another about some things in life. And I just felt like in my heart that we needed to kind of switch gears. So we went and sat down and we opened Every Moment Holy. And they were at this time doing a weekly Advent. where they were giving a prayer for Advent. My wife sat down and I sat down and we read this poem, this prayer, talking about the presence of God. And that the Advent, this coming, was here. And it asked this question, how are you preparing your hearts for Advent? In that moment, something happened that I don't know that I can still express with words. For lack of a better statement, I had the closest thing to a vision of Jesus walking in my room. As I sat there with my wife, it was if it's almost like the face where you see somebody in a dream, and it seemed as if this presence of God just showed up right in the middle of my room, looked at me and my wife, sat down on the couch, and crossed his legs as if a friend had just shown up to be with us. I sat down, I just began to weep. Hold on. Because this presence of God that's shown up in my life, this presence of God that I thought I knew about, that theologically I had an understanding of, all of a sudden, this presence comes into my room, looks at me, sits down, crosses his legs, and as if to say, Brolin, I just want to hang out with you. God, you want to hang out with me? I've been so nervous to come into your presence sometimes that I've been worried that you're going to judge me, that I've been worried about you showing up, and I would be nervous of what's going to be like in your presence. And the authority and the peace of that moment was indescribable. Jesus, in that moment, the best that I know how. I don't know what Jesus looks like. I don't know what it is. But it was the presence of God sitting down with us. And I remember this presence feeling like I've never had a big brother. And I sat down and this presence of God showing up in my life felt like a big brother that had authority over my life to speak truth into my life. But there was an overwhelming presence of joy. Like, there's no place I would rather be in that moment. Now, here's the thing. I'm Baptist. I don't know. Like, I couldn't put this into words. This wasn't right. But here's the reality I want us to understand is that the presence of God is now abiding with us. It is real and it's holy. And if you want to step into it, there's never a moment that he is not there, because every moment is an Emmanuel moment. Here's the reality. I wonder if we've forgotten that God is really with us. I wonder if we've forgotten, as if we're operating out of our own capacity, as if to say, I've got it taken care of. And God's with us like a friend who always wants to be with us, and we're ignoring him and pushing him away just as to say, don't worry, I got this. My application for today is this. When's the last time you remembered you're in the presence of God? When's the last time where you sat down and you just said, God, you're not going to show up. You've already been here. You've already walked with me. You've guided through me with through my whole life. You are God with us because you're here with me. And as a believer, you have allowed me to be the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. He dwells with me. And as if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and you're like, what is this? This sounds weird. Here's the thing. I want you to know that Jesus wants to dwell with you. The presence of God wants to come and show up in your life. And for you believers, I want you to think about this. What would it look like for you to remember the presence of God in your life? And how would you respond to the presence of God in your life? What if you truly believed that God was with you right now? How would your life look different? Or would you just keep on doing your job, keep going to work, keep going to school, keep doing the same old things the same old way? If you believe that the presence of God is with you, and alert, he is right here, right now with you, knowing that God is with you right now, how would your life look different? How are you going to respond right now? Here's what I do, Barry, if you want to come up just for a minute. I actually want to give you a chance to respond to God. I want you to take this moment here right now in this moment. And I want to give you some space to just acknowledge the presence of God. So here's what I'd like to do. I just want you to stand with me. The best place where we can often find the presence of God is in the quiet stillness of our hearts and in our souls. Christmas is here to remind us that when Jesus showed up, it wasn't with a loud parade, but it came like a winter snow. It was quiet. It was soft. And so what I'd like to do is this. I want to invite you to step into the presence of God today. Some of you might be fearful to do that. That was me. Here I am as a pastor of youth and trying to care for other people, and I was fearful because I didn't know what the presence of God was going to be like. And as I entered into that presence, I experienced the fullness of joy, as the psalmist would say. So I want to give you a moment to experience the presence of God right here. Right now. So here's what I'd like to do. It's just as an offering to God. I'd love you to just put your arms out like this, your hands out like this. And I just want you to close your eyes. We're going to stay just right here in the quiet for just a little bit. And I want you just say, God, I know that you're here. What do you want to say to me? And maybe he already is. But I just want to give you some space to time to talk with God and respond. However you'd like to respond, if it's kneeling, you can kneel. If it is praying, you can pray. If it's crying out to God, you can cry out to God. If it is shouting and clapping, you can do that as well. Whatever, however God asks you to respond, I want you to respond right here in this moment. So we're just going to spend a couple minutes in the quiet right now. don't be afraid. Just that fear, I sense some of that fear that maybe you're here, and you're afraid to step a little bit closer. I want you to step a little bit closer to God right now in this moment. Step a little bit closer. God, we thank you that you are not far. We do not have to go to a synagogue to find your presence. We do not have to go and make a pilgrimage to find your presence, but your presence is with us right here, right now. Do you agree, church? You say yes, church? I know if I say, do you agree, you can say yes. Do you agree, church?
Yes.
Do you believe that God is with us and for us? Do you agree, church? Do you agree that God came to make a way for you to deal with your sin, church?
Yes.
Do you believe, church, that God is greater than the enemy that we face? Do you believe this, church?
Yes.
Do you believe here today that the presence of God is with you and is with you always? Do you believe this, church?
Oh, yeah.
And church, do you believe that there's a moment ever where you're apart from the presence of God? The answer is no to this one. Curveball. If you believe this today, church, I want you to affirm that in your heart, then say, God, thank you for being with me. Say it with me. God, thank you for being with me. God, thank you for never leaving me. God, thank you for never leaving me. Thank you for never forsaking me. And I ask that you would help me to remember your presence. Because I'm never apart from you. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor principalities nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other creation can separate us from the love of God. Do you agree, church?
Yes.
Amen. Father, I just pray a blessing over these people right now in your name, Jesus. We ask you in the powerful name of your Son that your presence would be something that we not just think about every once in a while, but we would remember your presence and respond to your presence. God, we ask that, Lord, if there's anybody here today that needs your presence to come and heal, God, we ask for healing in Jesus' name. God, if there's any that are oppressed by the enemy, we ask for, we cast that out in Jesus' name. God, if there's anybody here who needs a relationship with you, we ask that you would come and you would make yourself known today. God, I pray that you would not make us fearful of sharing these Emmanuel moments with one another. Lord, I pray that we would speak testimonies of your presence being with us and that we would in turn be encouraging one another to love and good works. Christmas is not just about a moment. It is about every moment. Help us to remember that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.